you already do the activity. Okay. Thank you. Well, it's so good to have you guys here and to be here. Good to have you here, Randall. What are you wearing? Someone's jacket? Okay, actually today I asked Arthur if I could share because, you know, I had something on my heart and mind to share, and so thank you for listening.
Yesterday.
Yeah. Well, as most of you know, well, maybe Aaron doesn't know, I have the three boys and a girl, you can see in the picture, and right now we only have Angela that we're homeschooling, so we get to spend a lot of time together, and it's really fun. So Angela and I like to read, I like to read books to her, so we read the Laura Ingalls Wilder series, and then now we just finished the India in the Cupboard series. Raise your hand if you've read India in the Cupboard. They have The Return of the Indian, The Secret of the Indian, The Mystery of the Indian, The Key of the Indian. Raise your hands. Do you like them?
Yeah, I loved it.
Okay. And there was a movie, too.
I watched 5 minutes of it and I changed the channel.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Jacqueline. Okay. So anyways, if for those of you that don't know the story, okay, the story is this boy named Omri. He, for his birthday, his brother, Gillian, who was kind of looking for a gift for him and didn't have time, so he found this little medicine chest kind of in the attic of their house, and he fixed it up and gave it to him for a birthday gift. So he was kind of like, what's this, a medicine chest? But, you know, he kind of put it in his room. And then he has his friend Patrick, who, for his birthday, gave him a little Indian, a plastic Indian figure. So at first he was disappointed, like, I got tons of these little figures. Why? What's so great about this? But then something, I think it was in the evening, he put the little Indian inside the medicine chest, and then he also got this key, this special key that used to be his mom's, and he turned the key, and before he knew it, he was hearing noise from inside the medicine chest. So what happened was, this medicine chest was magical, and if you put, like, these plastic figures in, if you turn the key, they come to life, but they're miniature. And so this story is kind of based on that idea, but it has little twists and turns. And so what happens is that these figures are from another time period. Like, the Indian is during the time of the Indians, probably in the, early 1800s or whatever. And so they come to this time period, you know, to the present. So this whole thing is about, has the idea of time travel. So later on in one of the stories, I think it was in the Mystery of the Indian, what happened was all this magic is linked back to his great-grandmother, and they moved back into a house that she used to live in, and then he got a hold of her diary and was reading it. And so then he was able to kind of she, before she died, found a little figure of herself in the plastic, so she was able to come back to life, and, you know, they had this whole thing. But the interesting thing, the reason why I'm telling you about this, is that at one point, when he brought this person back to life, there was this whole incident where someone stole a jewelry box, and then he was going to warn him not to do that and kind of change history, because if the guy didn't steal the jewelry box, then all these other things might not happen. And then he was thinking, I might not even be born, because maybe my mother wouldn't meet my father, and, you know, all these things, if he changed something in the past. And that was, you know, when you think about the idea of if one incident in your life changed in the past, how your course of direction in your life might be totally different, it's really fascinating. And when you think about how many of the millions of links have to come true for you to even be sitting here, like Joanne, for you to even be sitting here, you know, where did your parents come from, like China or Taiwan or where?
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong. You know, they met, and then here you are in America, but all these little things have to happen for you to even be here. So when we think about how our life has so many different facets of it, for you to be even sitting here and for us to be having this time, this TD Thanksgiving, and for you to be hearing this is really quite miraculous. And that's why when we think about asking simple questions like, oh, you know, like, why can't my life be different? You know, or why can't I be taller? Or why is there so much suffering in this world? And why can't that change? And you just, they sound like simple questions. They sound, why not? But then it's just like the idea of the time travel thing. That will only happen if something else changed. And it's not that simple of a question, because we're really asking for the impossible. Because everything would have to be different in order for that to happen. Like, for me to be taller meant that, you know, my parents' genetics have to be different, which means their grandparents' genetics, and so on. So it's kind of like all interlocked. It's like a domino effect. So to change one simple thing isn't that simple, because that meant that a lot of other things had to change. And in fact, they might be so different if things were different, there might not even be me here asking the question, you know, how things are. So we're all kind of linked to many chains of events that happen that allow us all to be sitting here. And when you think about it, that's very miraculous, you know, that God orchestrated all these things for us to be able to be sitting here. So what we know is that God allows these things to happen, for all these chains of events, for your parents to be who they are, and for you to even be in South Pasadena right now listening to a Bible study, for you to know God's Word. God allowed all these kind of, not coincidental things, but just really by His design, all these things to be happening so you could be hearing about His Word. And that's a lot to be thankful for. You know, we take it all for granted that all these things fit for it to be for where we are today. But really, you know, nothing is done in a vacuum, and God orchestrated all these links or stepping stones for us to be sitting here. So the most obvious stepping stone, I think, for us to be sitting here is our parents, right? Because they're the generation right before us. And we know there were many generations before them, because we all know that then we have the grandparents and great-grandparents and so on and so forth. But we definitely know that our parents are the stepping stone right before us and the link right before us. So the reason why I wanted to share with you this Thanksgiving message is because those of you that were at our house last year remember that it was, you know, a difficult year for me and for my family, because last year started just like today, where I'm thinking, you know, got to put the turkey in the oven in time for it to be done. And at that time, in the July before the November, my mom found out she had cancer, stage 4 cancer. So all the months up to that day, we would, my sister Vicki, my brother Daryl, and Belinda, and myself, and my brother Irwin, we all were taking care of my mom, because she was slowly getting worse and worse, to the point where she was like bedridden and having trouble breathing. So normally my mom at that point would come over to our house, and since we homeschooled, she would stay with us, because we had someone with her 24/7, and even at night we hired a lady to come sit next to her in her bed, because we didn't. My brother, who's a doctor, retired doctor, said, you know, the worst thing is for her to fall. So if she got up to go to the bathroom and she was unsteady, she would fall, and that would be, you know, the end. So we had this lady come and sit with her next to her bed, and so that if she got up, she would help her to go to the bathroom. And so we were just really monitoring my mom. And so, you know, that day a year ago started just like today, get the turkey in the oven, and then I would go up to my parents' house. They live on top of Villa del Rey on the hills up here in South Pasadena. And then my brother met me at the door and said, oh, you know, mom's not doing that well, so call everyone and let them know. And so then, you know, I called my sister Vicki and called all the family. And so, you know, when it's like that, Matt could tell you, you don't know exactly, you know, when they might die. You know, it might be that day, it might be the next, it might be whatever. But my brother, who's a doctor, kind of sensed that something was wrong. So what started as an ordinary day would be that, so I stayed up at the house all day, and those of you that were here know that, you know, I wasn't here at all. And then my mom got worse, and so we would just be sitting around her room and singing hymns to her and doing scripture, and, you know, Pastor Francis visit and Pastor Chung visit and prayed for her. And so then by the time evening came, you know, Arthur and the kids had to come up to the house too, because it was looking like this might be like her last day on earth. And so what happened was, those of you that were here knew that it was her last day on earth. At about 9:30, we called here and told all of you that she went to glory, you know, to be with the Lord. And so, you know, all these things kind of remind you of, besides the brevity of life, but it also reminds you of that you're not here one by chance, and you're not here without someone coming before you. No, none of us are here without, we didn't pop up out of the blue by ourselves, but we had, you know, parents, loving parents that orchestrated a lot of things and put a lot of sacrifice so that you could be here. And I wanted to honor my mom because a year ago, she went to be with the Lord, and that's the last time I'm going to see her on earth was a year ago. And she sacrificed a lot to our family so that I could be who I am. And, you know, she came from China after World War II, when she was about 16, and she probably has like a fifth grade education, you know. And then yet she had her children, which two of them are doctors, one's an infertility doctor, the other one's family practice, and Belinda was an optometrist, and she just did everything so that we could have a life. And so then, at the end there, it was very special though, because we got to spend so much time with her, and especially the relationship between my brother and my mom. He's kind of a little bit the crazy one in the family, so, you know, he wouldn't like to listen and everything, but at the end there, he had a lot of tender moments with my mom, because he was the doctor that was, and he lives with my parents, so he was the doctor at home to give my mom personal care, and he would get her up in the morning, you know, brush her hair, do her makeup, and then just really pamper her, get her all cleaned up, and he took really good care of her. So the reason why I'm sharing this is because I just want to share how life is like, we're just like one link in a chain of people that have gone before us and people that will continue to go on. And I think that in this chain that we really need to just really be thankful for the people who are willing to sacrifice to give us a better life. And my mom did a lot of sacrificing for the family. But also, since this is Thanksgiving, you know, the pilgrims also did a lot of sacrificing for us to even be sitting here so we could sing worship songs and read the Bible. And there was a quote that William Bradford, he was like the governor of the Plymouth Plantation, he wrote this. He said, "Lastly, and which was not least, a great hope and inward zeal they had, the pilgrims, of laying some good foundation, or at least to make some way thereunto for the promoting and advancing of the gospel of the kingdom of Christ in those remote parts of the world, yea, though they should be but even as stepping stones unto others for the performing of so great a work." So, do you have a tissue? Sorry. So anyways, William Bradford says, like, the pilgrims were just stepping stones. You know, they're just like, they don't count their life as their own. They don't think about themselves, but they're thinking, if I can make it good for the next generation and spread the gospel for the other people. So they were like stepping stones for us. So I was just thinking that here we are, November, 18th, 2011, and we're in this present moment. But even that's kind of strange, because as soon as I said that, it just got into the past. You know, this thing called the present is a very tenuous thing. It almost seems non-existent, because it's just such a nanosecond before you know it's already written in the past. So here we are kind of in this moment, this now moment. And as we're living in this now moment, I think we really have to take time to think about all the people and the Lord who prepared us and did all these events and so that you could be here now, and give thanks for that. And then another thought is to think about, as you go on in the future, Yeah, so here we are in limbo. There's the past, and we give thanks for those people. And then we're moving on to the future, and there's going to be people coming behind us. And are they going to be able to give thanks for us for what we did for them? You know, we're just like one link in the chain. So we give thanks for the people in the past, and then in the people in the present, are they going to be able to say thanks to you? Like, are people going to go, oh, Alex prepared and sacrificed for me so I could know the Lord, and I give thanks for her. So we're giving thanks for people who did things for us, and we also look ahead and say, we want to be able to have people give thanks for our lives, too, for what we have sacrificed. So there's kind of like both sides. You're looking back to say thanks, and you're looking forward to say, I hope I could be a stepping stone for someone else so they could give thanks to me. And that's kind of just the way the Lord works, is like passing the baton. So just like I give thanks for my mom for sacrificing for me to have the life I have now, and I hope someone else in the future could be thankful for me for what I've done. And so Eleanor Roosevelt said, you know, the past is history, the future is a mystery, but the present is a gift. That's why it's called the present. And this is the moment we get to really be the ones giving thanks for things of the past, and the one that we could be sacrificing so other people could be giving thanks for us. And Johnny also said this. She said, Johnny Erickson Tada, people who live for tomorrow die wishing. You know, I wish this could have happened. I wish that could have happened. People who live for yesterday die discouraged. Oh, why didn't this happen? And so on. But people who live for today have no regrets, for they are living the very moment. And so I just challenge all of us to be people who understand that and don't be discouraged about the past. Don't keep wishing for the future. But at this very moment, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for where you are and who you are and all the things in the past that allow you to be who you are today. And looking for the future, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord, help me to be a stepping stone. Help me to be a link so that the things that people have done in the past, especially for those of us that know Jesus Christ, I mean, he did the greatest thing for us by dying on the cross for us. And then we are to spread the good news. And then I just pray that for all of us, as it says in Philippians 1:3-6, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer for joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Christ Jesus. So, you know, Jenny, I was talking to her today, and she just said, isn't it neat that even though the future is a mystery, and even though we haven't stepped in it, but we as Christians should have full confidence that God is going to use us to be a link, to be a stepping stone, to be furthering the kingdom and the gospel. I mean, that's really exciting. You'd have to go, oh, I wonder if my life's going to count for anything. I wonder if I'm going to have any purpose. But God says, you will. You will. I'm confident of the very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus, and you will bear fruit. So let's just, you know, charge on ahead, be thankful for things in the past, don't be a grumbler and complainer, and then look forward to how God is going to use you to help bless other people so that they could give thanks for your life in the future. And that's just what I wanted to share. So, thank you. Do we want to do small group or a game or whatever?